Thank you very much. I'm not a risk proof person. I wish we were living in a world where the risks were minimum, at the minimum, and where we can just wake up in the morning and everything would be there for us, available, and we don't have to do things that would put us into trouble. But I think, as most people have said, the risks are inevitable, and they're part of our life and our world, personally and professionally. I'm the managing director and one of the founders of an organization called, in Arabic, Al-Mawrid Al-Thaqafi. In English, it has this boring name, Cultural Resource. And if you want to know more about it, I have brochures here who can tell you all about it. Now we have 27 members from 14 countries across the Arab region. But when we started in 2004, it was founded by me and 9 other people. And when we started, we had this meeting and then various sort of correspondence and other meetings, and we thought a lot about what we're going to do and the people who are going to benefit from our work and how we will do our work. But we didn't think a lot, didn't think at all about the challenges that are ahead of us and the risks we might end up taking. And as Alison said, it's sometimes good to leap without looking. Now, when I think back, I think this kind of blind faith is very useful when you're doing something completely new. Because sometimes, if you're like me, cautious and calculating a little bit, if you think too much, then you will not really do the things you should be doing. So I think there is a lot of merit in being responsible, as was indicated to us before today. Soon after we started our work in 2004, we came into harsh confrontations with the political authorities. And the first thing we organized was a literary workshop, a creative writing workshop for 19 young writers from across the region. And it was banned by state security, and I was threatened that the participants who had just arrived in Cairo will be deported, will be arrested and deported immediately if we don't cancel the workshop. So we had to really start realizing that we took a risk by making some decisions we already took before, like, for example, working out of Egypt. We were the first organization that worked across the region and was based in the region. And the decision to be based in the region, I think, had a price tag on it, which we kind of somehow knew, but did not actually think about much. For example, the decision to have all our programs and activities accessible to Palestinians of all kinds, regardless of the citizenship documents they carry, was another decision that we took, and then later on had to realize the price that comes with it. Other decisions, for example, the decision to distance ourselves from governments. We did not have any government kind of support us morally or politically. We were kind of the unwanted sort of newborn. And the community that we belonged to and we were created to serve was very fragile and very weak and was hardly able to defend itself, let alone defending us. So we also had to sort of realize the price that comes with this. So the awareness of the risks we took came after we actually took the risks. And understanding the scale of these risks was a process that we had to deal with during our first 2 years of establishment. Luckily, we were able to manage these risks in a responsible and timely manner. And timely is an important English word. I like it very much. English is not my first language. But timely it has no equivalent in Arabic because it also means, has an element of speed in it. Mm-hmm. It means responding at the right time, but not too late, I think. Oh, this is how I understand it. And this has always been a very important thing for us. So, risks are taking against challenges. So the most important thing for us was to understand the challenges. In our case, the challenges were mostly political. For example, the oppressive regimes in the region, the police states, we have to work from within. The military occupation, as in the case of Palestine, the social, the disintegration of the social and political systems, as in the case of Iraq. And I was really inspired by my son's presentation earlier. In this case, how do we understand these challenges? I think it's very important when you take a risk against a challenge to ask questions like, who represents this challenge exactly? Who is it? Is it state security? Is it an army? Is it a newspaper? Is it a secret police authority? Who exactly are you up against? And how does it affect our work? Does it affect our work at all? Or maybe we can work without doing anything to address these challenges whatsoever. We can just work and in clandestine and will be accepted somehow. If we can do that, in most cases, my advice would be not to be too confrontational. And then, is this challenge temporary or is it permanent? Is it something that we have to change completely in order to address it? Or is it something that will pass? And also, most importantly, is it a challenge that faces us only as people who work in arts and culture, or is it something that we share with other people in the society? Because then, maybe building alliances and making connections with other groups in society will help us. In our case, of course, the political challenges were faced by almost everybody who works outside governments in the region. So it was very important for us to do two things. First of all, to try and build alliances and side with those who are facing the same challenge and ask them to side with us, and also to be completely visible. This is very important, because then it would be very, it would be more difficult for political power to harm us. If we're totally visible, if we're also very transparent, then it would be very difficult to just sort of delete us from the scene. So understanding the challenges is a very important thing, and also in detail. Of course, risk is a relative thing. What's risky in Damascus is hardly risky in London, and vice versa, of course. But as David Kirschlow said, or as I understand what he said, I think now that the world is getting more and more connected, local situations should be considered carefully when you take a risk. But local situations themselves are getting more and more global every day. So I find now that the situations in Southeast Asia, and even some situations in Western Europe, like what's happening now in Western Europe, and all these right-wing governments getting even more right-wing, and all these cuts, and it's getting very similar. The situations are getting more and more similar every day. So the tools you acquire locally can now be more useful to other people in other regions. Then what we learned also, that taking risks includes a very complicated process of making decisions by individuals in groups, of course. For example, the decision to organize a Pan-African festival, for example, in Egypt, would throw the Egyptian government totally out of, I mean, they would go mad, because of course they see this as a monopoly for the government, and nobody from outside the government can claim to be Pan-African, and then it involves inviting people from African countries, and they will never get visas, etc. So taking a decision like this is not an individual, it's not my decision. It's a different layers of people from within the organization, and even from outside the organization, from the community itself. So to have effective and inclusive decision-making mechanisms in the organization is a very important thing. Without this, I don't believe you can take the risk. I think there is a limit to being responsible, and I think taking a risk without involving the people who are either in the organization or in the community or both of them is maybe dangerously responsible. Then after you take the risk, I think one of the most important things we also found out during the 6.5 years of our work is how when we take a risk, and then in many cases we succeed in taking this risk and things happen, how do we make it a reference? How do we say that this is something that few other people can do, or we can also repeat the experience, whether it's organizing an event or starting a new program or whatever it is. How do we do this? How do we make it a model? And I know that Hassan is probably much more capable of trying to define this for us. But from our point of view, we felt that the discussion with many people who work in the same field, in different capacities, in different situations, is very useful doing this. We compare our experience to that of the others, and then together we're able to sort of draw, or at least sort of have a vague idea about what the model is, and then make it visible, make it out there. Don't keep it inside the organization or the project or the group of people. I'll just end like other people, I was shifted from one panel to the other, so, and my computer crashed, so I don't want to complain. So, I was thinking about risk this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I asked myself a question. What is the risk that I personally cannot afford to take, or my organization cannot afford to take? We can afford to go against government, we can afford to upset even some groups of artists here who might not like our work, we can take the risk of going sort of against some parts of the media, some people do not like the fact that we, for example, invite Palestinians who have Israeli citizenship and things like that. All these big things, risks we can take. The risk that I don't think we as an organization, and many of you, if not most of you, cannot afford to take, is the risk to isolate ourselves from our communities. I think this is today there is a price that we don't want to pay. And I like very much what David said earlier about the Battersea Art Center relationship with this Islamic school. At the beginning I said, oh my God, these people are completely fundamentalists, so you cannot talk to them. You don't like string instruments. What about sitar players in Pakistan and rubab, Afghani rubab players in Afghanistan? Is this banned? Is this haram? And then after he mentioned what happened and how they managed to develop this relationship with the consent and full participation of artists, because I think arts leadership is something very important, they were able to develop a new model that can then maybe replicated and then can lead to so many unseen good things. Thank you.